Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Nancy Kichuk, Associate Director, Strategic Human Resource Policy at OPM. Also joining us in our conversation is Ed Vitalis, Associate Partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Nancy, there have been many initiatives within the federal government, such as the establishment of the lines of business and shared services, which are changing the way government does business. Does this move to the LOBs and shared services have any ameliorating effects on the aging workforce issue?
The HR line of business initiative helps us to do more services electronically so that as more people retire, we don't have to replace as many. So in that respect, it helps us deal with this current retirement wave. The HR line of business is a new initiative where the federal government's many agencies identify a small number of agencies that specialize in services and use them so they don't have to repeat the purchase of software, certain services. The one where we are very successful and is in full swing is e-payroll. We reduced the number of payroll offices in the federal government to a certain number, and then other federal agencies select that number. We're also starting that initiative for shared services for HR offices. We have selected 5 shared service offices for HR. We're in the process of bidding out for private sector companies to also become on that list of potential shared service centers, and agencies are considering what the best way is for them to purchase their HR services.
Now, a couple of years ago, OPM launched the Information Technology Exchange Program, or ITEP, which enables government and the private sector to share best practices and, in fact, potentially employees to enable both sides to gain a better understanding of each other's needs. Would you elaborate on this program and its success to date, and are there any plans to continue the program beyond its already established sunset?
What we had really hoped would happen when this program was set up by legislation was that there would be an exchange of IT employees between the private sector and the federal sector. To date, we've worked very hard to try to make that happen, but we haven't had any success. In other words, we have not sent any federal employees into the private sector, nor have any private sector employees come on an exchange program into the federal sector. We haven't given up on this yet. In fact, we're very close, we think, to having our first success. We've been hampered by the fact that IT services are so hard to find, and those are such treasured employees that whoever has them wants to hold on to them. There are also some ethics issues. If a private sector company sends one of its employees to the federal government, does that prohibit them then from bidding on work? Does that prevent or create an unfair advantage? So we are still working with this program. We're still hopeful that we will have a vigorous exchange of employees. But you are right. The program does sunset on December 17th, 2007. We will recommend that it will be extended because we think we're close to start getting some exchanges, but we're not there yet. So wish us luck on this one. We want this one to work out.
Absolutely.
We sure do. And while we're on the topic of technologies, from your perspective in the human resource field, can you cite the emerging technologies that you feel will have the greatest benefit to managing federal human resources?
Well, I think one of the things that we're proud of is USA Jobs, a central place where you can go and find out about any single job that is available in the federal government, in the executive branch. That, number one, makes it easy for prospective job seekers to know where to go. Now, we're working to improve that technology because just because you find the job on USA Jobs doesn't mean that the resume that you filled out will necessarily be accepted by every single agency that has posted their job. So that's one area where we still think we've got room for improvement. USA Jobs is encouraging more and more people to apply because they can do it electronically. That means more applications come in, and that means that we have to evaluate them electronically. There are systems available that the personnel offices are using to rate these applications. They're continually changing. We think the shared service concept is going to reduce the number of technologies that will be purchased. And by reducing the number of technologies that will be purchased, you can improve them. If you're only going to have five products, then they can be five really top-notch products. So that's what the shared service centers, the HR shared service centers that we talked about earlier, will do. It will reduce the need for every single agency to keep buying and modernizing and adjusting to changing issues. And it will allow a select number to specialize in that and become expert in it. So we think the shared service centers pose a lot of potential for improving HR.
Beyond the pressing concerns that we discussed around the retirement wave, would you elaborate on other critical human capital issues and challenges facing the federal government within the next 5 to 10 years? And Nancy, what advice might you give the next administration in facing these challenges?
Well, I think the challenges that we face are getting the right person in the right job. And frankly, that's not really a new challenge. There's nothing surprising about that. But the federal sector jobs are very complex. They're very important. And it's important to get the right talent to do those jobs. I think the federal government needs to be flexible. And the federal government is controlled by some rules and regulations. So being flexible is a big challenge to us, but I think we're doing well on it. As we've discussed earlier, telework is a good example. Being ready for the pandemic is a good example, and we're doing that. I think that we need to drive towards results, and in order to drive towards results, you need good performance management systems. We're working on that. We're educating HR professionals on performance management systems, holding seminars, providing more guidance, and I think that will help us drive towards results. We need to focus more on training, and we've done some things. Of course, what we discussed earlier is just collecting training data, but how do you train people? And I think our new technologies, e-learning, that presents us new opportunities, and I think the federal government would be remiss if we didn't try to take advantages of those. We need to leverage technology in support of human capital management. So you asked me what advice I would give to the next administration. I think that is a challenge, isn't it? I think I would ask them to, these times of budget constraints, allow us to continue to invest in technology. I think that's where we get the biggest bang for our buck. And if you don't have enough resources to keep your technology current, you're foregoing a good opportunity to get a lot more out of the resources available to you. I would suggest that any administration, and I think administrations recognize the talent of federal employees, appreciate the federal employees. They are committed. That's one of the things that our federal human capital surveys always show, is that federal employees are committed to serving the public, and they're committed to their jobs. So they have good ideas, and they want the best for the nation and for the people they serve. So listen to your employees. They are an asset. That's why we call them human resources. They're a great resource.
That's fantastic. Nancy, on this same theme, it is very evident that you have a passion for public service. So I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
I would say if you want a career in public service, go for it. And you are going to get a lot out of it. Employees that work for the federal government, by and large, think the work they do is very important, and they think they're making a contribution. There are some things in when you work for the federal government, you do have to work within the rules and regulations of the federal government. If you have a good government career, you can learn to do that. You know what the rules are, and you follow them. Benefits are great. Federal employees like their benefits, and they are good. So there are lots of reasons to work for the federal government. There are a lot of ways to contribute, and I think we need very good people in the federal government. There are very interesting jobs, and I certainly would recommend federal employment to anyone.
Great. Excellent. Thank you. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule today. But more importantly, Ed and I would like to thank you for your 35 years of dedicated service to our country.
Thank you. If people would like more information about some of the things we talked about today, there's a lot of good information on our website, www.opm.gov.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Nancy Kichuk, Associate Director, Strategic Human Resource Policy at the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.